You may want to buy a home. You may want to sell your home. But no matter what, you have questions.
How much are closing costs?
What's a WDO?
Can I talk to the appraiser?
How long does
Who
it
pays
take
for a realtor?
Do I need a pre-approval?
How do I file
before
for
we start
the
win mitigation?
How do I pick a realtor?
To sell my house.
Your questions have answers. This is the Talking All Things Real Estate podcast with your host, Dora, the Real Estate Explorer.
Hey, everybody. It's Dora Seiler coming to you from Central Florida. Dora, a.k.a. the Real Estate Explorer. I'm a realtor here in Central Florida, as I said, with Prestige Property Shop. And today, I kind of wanted to talk millennials.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, but, and I know everybody gives the millennials a bad rap, but the millennials are becoming, I would say they're at least a third of my buyer pool right now. And what's really interesting is people think, oh, well, they don't have any money. They do have money. And mom and dad are helping them get into their house because I think they want them
out of their house.
They don't want them living with them. So they're like, we're happy to help you with your down payment or your closing cost.
Exactly.
But most millennials that are interested in the market, they really do have their stuff together, Lee. They do. They have good jobs. They've got money saved, maybe not all the money they need, but you know, it's funny because they actually are a more educated buyer than I feel like I was when I bought my first house. And we have the internet to thank for that, because they have information at their fingertips that we did not have. We used to have to drive around and say, oh, we like that neighborhood.
Well, and price points are a lot higher than they were when you bought your first house.
They are.
You figure a millennial's buying a $300,000 house, they have to come up with $15,000, $16,000 at the bare minimum just to get in.
Exactly. But I saw something the other day, and I just thought this was so funny. So I wanted to share. It's Millennial Myth Busters.
Okay.
So the topic says, millennials will shatter myth and actually shape the housing market here in 2021. So they are.
So they have a video game room. They'll have a.
So listen to this first one.
A whining closet.
Here's a myth. All millennials want tiny hip apartments near Avocado Toast Central. I thought that was so funny. And there are a lot of millennials that want to live close to downtown, close to where things are going on, but
high crime areas.
Yeah. No, not necessarily, but those properties have actually gotten so expensive that some of them can't afford.
Well, it's just unbelievable, because we had dinner with some clients of mine not that long ago, and they talked about College Park, where 1,500 square foot homes are going for $600,000.
And that's
crazy.
It feels like when they said that, I felt like it reminded me of our godson who paid over $500,000 in Hawaii, but he's got the view of Diamond Head. That it's location.
It was like 800 square feet or something.
Location, location, location. Okay, so the myth is they all want to be next to Avocado Toast Central. But the reality is that millennials want 1,800 square feet single family homes in the suburbs just as much as someone in their 30s, 40s, because they are driving their kids to school, daycares, they care about good schools. So not all millennials, you know, want that tiny.
I thought they just cared about themselves.
Listen, we're the millennials that I'm working with, they're like Nikki. They're a megalennial.
Yep.
They have their stuff together. Their finances are in order.
Nikki is the rock star in my business.
She is. And we call her the megalennial because she has a great job. She has a financial plan. She is saving money in all the right areas. So many of my millennial clients, as I said, they may not have all the money because the house they want, they may not have all the funds for, but mom and dad are helping, and so they're able to swing it. But they're going to be able to swing the payments. That's not the problem. Okay,
for now.
Here's the next myth: if it's not walkable, millennials won't look at it. Again, assuming that all millennials want to be, you know,
they want to walk to a Starbucks
or downtown. So That's a myth, and they're saying the reality is that they like to have parties and have places for people to park, and
that is a serious problem with a lot of those places downtown problem. Or those mm-hmm. those areas.
Yeah, I just had a listing off of Michigan, which was literally right off of Michigan. There was no street parking. There was no park across the street or
driveway
around
that
the corner.
Fits two cars.
No, it fit two cars, but that's about all it right. fit. So the millennials do want to socialize and have people over. So they care about parking. They want to be in a safe area. So that's why they're saying that's a myth. The next myth is millennials are drowned in student debt and can't afford housing.
That okay? I think that is kind of a fact.
That's why mommy and daddy are helping.
Yeah.
Their down payments are larger than ever, and for some, their savings are peaking. So again, what your point was, what they want is going to require a larger down payment because they... A lot of millennials, what I see, are not happy with that small little starter yeah. home. They want the 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath pool home right out of the gate.
Look at your situation. If your daughter came to you and said, well, I can afford to buy a house over here in Pine Hills, or that's all I can afford, or I can buy in Lake Mary, but I just can't do it. I need help.
I would say I would help her.
Of course.
Because I don't want her. And I think
you don't want her in Pine Hills. Sorry, exactly. Anybody lives in Pine Hills.
So that's a little bit of the difference. The millennials are a little bit different where they do want more. They want it quicker. And so that's going to put them in a higher price point. I would say in Seminole, Orange County, if you want in an established, nice neighborhood, you're going to pay $300 and up. Where, somebody else in a starter home is going to go into a townhome that's $200,000, maybe right. $250,000.
And those are tough to find nowadays.
Inventory is low. So, okay. The next myth is millennials can't compete against other generations.
That's fact. They can't.
Well, what this is saying is the reality is they will take more mortgages than boomers, Gen Xers combined. So stick that in your hat and smoke it.
Wait, take more mortgages?
They're going to...
Okay, so they're going to be jumping from house to house to house. That's what that tells me.
They're going to be a huge part of our real estate market. They want home ownership. They realize the value in making a mortgage payment as an investment versus just paying apartment rent. So...
Okay, so these millennials, and what advice are you giving them as they come to you? I mean, I know as millennials come to me to help them with their investing, I always say, listen, the most important thing is to start investing. And I like invisible investing. Just every month, take money, goes directly to your checking account into some type of investment so you don't even see it. And then you have a goal. Hey, I need $15,000 for a down payment and closing costs for a house or a townhouse.
That's exactly it. When someone talks to me and says, hey, Dora, what should I be doing now if we want to buy a house maybe the latter part of this year, maybe in 6 months? First thing I ask them is, do you know your credit score? Credit's huge.
Right.
So I say right out of the gate, you got to find out what your credit score is. And if there's any issues, you got to start fixing them
and
now.
What do they need generally? What credit score they need to have to get a decent rate, to get an easy approval?
Well, I would say anything 680 and up is going to give them a decent interest rate. But the higher your score, you're going to get a better interest
rate.
They
should shoot for 725 or 750.
720, okay. Yes. Anything 720 and up is considered really good.
And oftentimes the difference between 690 and 720 could be, hey, let's pay this credit card off
exactly.
or just make a couple adjustments to your current budget.
So that's the first thing they need to do. And then I'll tell them, speak with a lender, not necessarily, get a full pre-approval letter, but speak with the lender, fight, and let them know, this is what we're comfortable with our payments being, translation, this is what I make. What does that mean for me? Am I at 300? Can I afford a $350,000 house? What's my range? So, and then save money, keep your credit squeaky clean. Don't be late on any payments. Don't, hold off, putting yourself in any further debt. And then let's talk in 4 or 5 months.
And what you always say is just before you're getting ready to do this, do not go out and get a new credit card or buy a new car or do something that's going to be crazy with your credit score.
That's the worst thing you can do is go finance some new patio furniture on a zero interest loan. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You want to be in as least amount of debt and show the money in the bank, not under your mattress, but in the bank. It's got to be sourced. So that's the conversation I have with people when they're saying, okay, I'm 6 to 12 months out. When someone says to me, okay, Dora, we've already done that. And, you know, we did that last year and we want to start looking in a few months. Then what I tell them is, you know, drive areas, because so many times, and I'm guilty of this as well, my pictures might look beautiful online, but then when you get to the property, someone might realize, oh, the parking's not good, or I don't like the neighbor's house next door.
Although that's also a sign of a good agent. You got a listing, it's a piece of crap. Oh, those pictures look gorgeous. You go up there, what the heck?
Well, that's marketing, but you just, I tell them, drive some areas and start looking. You know, I'll put them on a search so they can start getting a feel for how long things are on the market for, what this neighborhood is selling for. And they've really got to decide, you know, narrow down your area as much as possible. That's going to make it a little bit easier to focus on certain areas. And oftentimes that's, you know, proximity to work or where they want their kids to stay in school. It kind of depends.
And how do they determine? So that if they talk to a lender, say, what can I qualify? We can afford. They should probably start that way. Say, what can they afford for their monthly payment? And then kind of go do the math backwards.
It's a reverse engineering. This is where we're comfortable.
I can pay $2,000 a month mortgage.
Exactly.
And we're gonna do the 3.5% plus closing costs. Where can we
exactly
look?
Okay. So you're working almost backwards, because on paper you might be able to afford $400,000, but that means you might not be taking any vacations or be able to save enough money for a rainy day. So then maybe $350,000 is gonna be your max.
Being house poor is not fun.
It is not fun. And
we've all done it in our life.
And that is the difference, you know, with being a homeowner, is when the AC breaks down or, you know, you have a plumbing leak, that's on you as the homeowner. Okay, so the last myth they say about millennials are millennials want a recession to hit hard so that home prices will come down to earth. And I find that one hilarious.
I think that's probably true.
I don't think so, because, and here's why. I have heard multiple times from my millennial buyers that they saw what their parents went through. They saw their parents buying more than they could really afford. And then our recession hit or somebody lost the job. And now they bit off more than they can chew. I think they've learned from that, Lee.
But on the other hand, there are what houses are going for right now. It blows me away that a house, you know, in a really nice neighborhood, but the ones in Longwood, the Woodlands or any of those, they're nice, large neighborhoods, but the pricing is unbelievable.
Well, they want a deal. Of course they want, everybody wants a deal.
It's hard to get deals right now.
It is very hard to get deals. So, you know, they have to get what they want in maybe another way. They've got to know what's coming, you know, maybe notice what's coming. I had a house in the Woodlands, which is in Longwood, that an investor was rehabbing, and he had people stopping by almost daily saying, when is this house coming on the market? I know somebody who wants to move into the neighborhood. So pay attention. Don't be afraid to do something like that, because you're getting the inside scoop. You know what's coming before it's actually hit the market.
So let's just to recap, you know, first and foremost, you said credit is huge. And if your credit score needs work, start the repair process immediately.
Absolutely.
And then they need to save money.
Right.
Because they're going to need, not everybody, especially if it's a multiple offer situation, already if you're financing FHA and you have a minimal down payment, and you need closing costs, you're going to be behind the eight ball.
Your offer is going to look really weak compared to a conventional buyer who can put 10, 20% down and doesn't need help with their closing costs.
Now, what they could do, if mommy and daddy can finance the whole thing, knowing that they can get a loan, you talked about this on your last podcast.
Right.
That may be a strategy. Say, hey, you know, it's a $300,000 house. Can mom and dad write the check for it? This way they go in with a cash offer and then they just get financed
and
get paid back.
And then get the loan afterwards. And then they can do an FHA loan.
Right.
And there. Yes, that's a great strategy. That's what I was talking about in my last podcast. So anyway, that myth of the millennials hoping that the recession hits, they said the reality is they feel the same way about the next recession as other generations. They welcome a correction, but they're still rooting for the economy. And here's why. Because if they're rooting for a recession, that might mean a loss of job right. for them. So I don't think, or their spouse. And I don't think that they're wanting that. It's just they're wanting, listen, they're going to pay a little bit more for a house in a low inventory environment, but interest rates are still historically phenomenal. Right around 3% is still a phenomenal interest rate. So
they need to know where, and one of the other tips that you said is that they drive in neighborhoods where you want to be and have an idea. So this way you're not searching all over Orange and Seminole and Osceola.
Or
and,
wasting time. If right. you see a house that looks great online, go drive it right away before you set an appointment and waste time of your own or your agent's. But I really do think that these millennials are gonna drive our real estate market in the next few years. And
maybe if they stop playing with their Robinhood accounts, they could save more money.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Today we were talking millennials and how to be a megalennial in the real estate market. I'm Dora, the Real Estate Explorer. Call me if I can help you with any of your real estate needs, 407-493-4959. Have a great day. That she likes to see.